And let's start you off with some headlines that you need to know. Serena Williams is going to play in the U.S. Open tournament. The 23-time Grand Slam champion announced her intentions in a taped video message revealed Wednesday by the USTA. Quote, I really cannot wait to return in New York and play the U.S. Open 2020. I feel like the USTA is going to do a really good job of ensuring everything is amazing and everything is perfect and everyone is safe. It's going to be exciting. It's been over 6 months since a lot of us have played professional tennis. I'll certainly miss the fans, don't get me wrong. Just being out there in that New York crowd and hearing everyone cheer. So a little bit of positivity, something to cheer for tennis fans as Serena Williams lets everybody know she will be a part of the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. Next up on the headlines you need to know, a change coming for UNLV. UNLV officials removed the Hey Reb statue from campus on Tuesday night. The school president indicated the changes could be coming to the university's mascot in the wake of social justice protests around the country. The Hey Reb statue stood in front of the TAM Alumni Center. In a letter posted on social media Tuesday, UNLV officials were returning the statue to its donor. That's what they've let everybody know at this point. At this point, the Rebel mascot dates to the school's origin in the mid-1950s when it was an extension of the campus of University of Nevada, Reno. But at this point, the Confederate theme mascot will no longer stand as a statue, and it looks like will no longer be affiliated with the school. We don't know what that means for what their next nickname will be. And lastly, in the headlines that you need to know, got a little live sports going on in the EPL return, but an interesting moment before the match started, players took a knee to support Black Lives Matter in the return of the EPL. So Aston Villa and Sheffield United restarted the Premier League on Wednesday after a 100-day hiatus caused by COVID-19 with a strong statement of support for the worldwide protests against racism by kneeling once the whistle for kickoff had been blown. So a really powerful, poignant moment for them. Those are the headlines that you need to know on First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Don't forget to tune into the ESPYs presented by Capital One on ESPN Sunday night at 9 Eastern. Brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. Today and everyday care makes the difference. You guys can make a difference getting in on the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The big news of the day, obviously, is the conversation around Colin Kaepernick as Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn said some things regarding his ability to play, saying that it would be crazy for anybody not to want to sign him or not to at least have him on their list, I should say. Daniel Popper from The Athletic, the Chargers reporter, did make it clear, though, that he believes when he joined us earlier, it's doubtful that the Chargers will be signing him.
It doesn't really make sense for them to sign Colin Kaepernick. All Anthony Lynn was saying is that, hey, we're probably going to have a workout with him. He's on our radar because of COVID and because you need to have as many contingency plans as possible because of the current situation in our country.
And the contingency plan part of it is important. Also, context is important. I want to make sure that everybody knows the context of the coach's statement. His statement was, quote, it would be crazy not to have free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick on their workout list this summer. But he also did say, quote, I haven't spoken with Colin, not sure where he's at as far in his career, what he wants to do. But Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have, but you can never have too many people waiting on the runway. Let's remember that Tyrod Taylor, Easton Stick, and Justin Herbert, the high draft pick, are their current quarterbacks on the roster. I'm going to get your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we get to some of you guys that are holding on, quickly, I want you to hear Stephen A. as he reacted to Kaepernick working out with the Chargers.
Well, first of all, see what I was saying? Just what I was saying about last segment about black coaches. You
no
got a brother
doubt
at the Chargers, and he's going to give a brother in Colin Kaepernick an opportunity.
Preach.
You see how that works? You see how it is? That's what the kind of stuff that I'm talking about here. Now, that doesn't guarantee Colin Kaepernick a job. There's still Cam Newton out there who I believe deserves a job in the National Football League, obviously. Tyrod Taylor is who you got as your quarterback. So certainly you're going to look at Colin Kaepernick. And definitely you want to look at him because Phillip Rivers has been there, fresh off of 20 interceptions, even though he threw for 4,600 yards. But the bottom line is he was slower than a snail with arthritis, and snails don't get arthritis, meaning the brother can't move. So you need somebody like Colin Kaepernick that can at least run with the football, because you know that's going to be a dual threat. What you're seeing from Lamar Jackson, what you're capable of seeing from Deshaun Watson and others, this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm happy about it. You obviously got Mike Williams and Keenan Allen there to throw the football to. Henry Hunter is your tight end, so that's a good deal as well. Anthony Lynn, again, is your coach, our brother, giving an opportunity to our brother. I kind of like it. I like it a lot. I wish Colin Kaepernick well.
Now, I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take some of your take now. Ryan in Louisiana. Ryan, what's your take on Kaepernick and the Chargers?
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Jason. I was going to say that if you look at the big picture of this, you got the San Diego Chargers of a very questionable fan base. Instantly bring him in. Even if he's on the bench, you instantly sell a million jerseys worldwide and have Chargers fans all over the place. And just imagine the scenario where he comes in and leads a team on a playoff run. It is one of the all-time sports moments. Does Tyrod Taylor or even Justin Herbert have any chance of that? I say no way.
Look, and I love your take on it, Ryan, in the sense that you're right when it comes to a marketing standpoint. Now, I will say when I asked Daniel Popper about it earlier, he pointed out for every fan you gain, you might lose one, so I don't know what it means for ticket sales. But well, this is what we do know. The Chargers have gotten no traction in the L.A. market. I mean, that's real. So they have no traction. Getting a superstar in there, I think, would have value to it. That's also why I thought Justin Herbert was a surprising pick, because I spend my time covering college football largely for ESPN. And if you're outside of the college football world, how many people were really obsessed with Justin Herbert? How many people in L.A. are saying, oh, you know what? We got that Herbert kid, though. That's going to change everything. I just don't think that exists now. That being said, the other side of it is, does Colin Kaepernick really want to go somewhere where he's going to be competing for any snaps in practice with Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert? I don't see that. And can the Chargers afford to give up the snaps that they would need to in practice to knock the rust off that they would have to give? Those are snaps being taken away from Herbert. So I don't think this is simple. You know, the business standpoint of it, the merchandising standpoint, the jersey sales of it, all of that can make sense. And I think it does make sense for whoever eventually signs Colin Kaepernick. But the two parts of it we have to, and this is what we're going to have to do every single time you hear of a Colin Kaepernick possible workout. Because remember, this isn't an actual workout. This is just a coach saying, yeah, you'd be crazy not to have him on your workout list. That's all this is. And it's created this much fervor. We are going to have to step back from every single rumored possible interest and ask ourselves, okay, from one side of it, from the team side of it, how does it make sense short term and long term? And from the player side of it, from Colin Kaepernick's side of it, how does it make sense short-term and long-term? When I look at the Chargers, short-term, I don't think anything. They get a short-term push out of increased sales of jerseys. That's great. But long-term, it stunts the development and opportunity for Justin Herbert and possibly creates a quarterback controversy they may not want for somebody that they took so high in the draft. For Colin Kaepernick, I'm not sure it makes sense short-term or long-term. He's going to be buried on the bench, and he's not going to have a chance to get any opportunities to play. I don't know how that changes whatever the perception is on Colin Kaepernick, the player, for the rest of the league. He's got to go somewhere where he has a better shot at getting on the field. Chewy in California, always love it when Chewy calls. I'll take your take, Chewy. What you got on Kaepernick?
Hey, good morning from the West Coast, dude. Awesome. I think Anthony Lynn's 100% correct. There are teams out there that would be foolish not to bring him in. Matter of fact, I think every coach should give him a look-see. Not just out of consolation prize, but because the guy's a skilled player, or he was. It's my biggest concern right there. As a Ram fan since 79, I'd rather have Cam. You know, nothing against Colin. I'd look at him, and if we can carry three, I'd definitely have him for the three with the COVID and the way injuries happen to quarterbacks these days. But behind Goff, I think I'd rather have Cam. But there are teams out there who could utilize him as a good number two. He might even be a starter for one or two teams. What do you think?
Chewy, I think you're right, though. I mean, if everybody knows I'm a Raiders fan. If you're telling me I've got the opportunity to add Cam or Colin Kaepernick, I mean, we've seen Cam so recently, it just, I have to wonder what the delay means. Now, I'd be certainly, given my personal set of beliefs, and this doesn't have to be your personal set of beliefs, but given my personal set of beliefs, I would be proud as hell if my beloved Raiders were the team that brought Colin Kaepernick back into the NFL. Heck yeah, I would be all in for that. I love everything about that. But if you're asking me just from a football standpoint, we've seen Cam Newton be successful sooner. I mean, more recently, I should say. So to me, that makes a lot more sense. Cam is still out there on the open market. And when facilities open up to the point that players can have physicals, I believe Cam's going to find a home. That just doesn't make sense in my mind for Cam not to. Colin in Toronto, what's your take on the Kaepernick situation? Thanks for calling the show, man.
Long-time listener, appreciate you taking my call, sir. Listen, I love Colin Kaepernick. I thought he was great in San Francisco, and I think the fact that the NFL blackballed him for so long, first off, Roger Goodell deserves to give that man an apology. That being said, that's clearly on the out of football state. On the football state, Colin Kaepernick has not played a meaningful down of football in 4+ years. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan through and through, from the days of Jim Kelly all the way up. Tyrod Taylor has paid his dues. And all due respect, he and both Cam Newton deserve a shot more than Colin Kaepernick on football premise alone. In saying that, I hope the man has a stand and at least gets a chance on one team to prove the naysayers. I just don't know how much in the tank Mr. Kaepernick's going to have left after 4 years being absent from playing any type of meaningful football. I wish him the best, but I don't know, man. That's a lot to ask on your body. And didn't he go through some personal experience or finding himself where he switched to vegan and he dropped like 35 pounds? And his body as a running quarterback is going to take that type of punishment, having not played in 4 years? Like I said, I wish him the best of luck. Because if anybody needs the help, the San Diego Chargers need the help.
Well, thanks for your take on it. I would say that I think the one counter argument to the gap, and you're right, 4 years is a very long time, but let's remember Michael Vick, 2006 was his last season with the Falcons. 2009 was his first season with the Eagles. That's not 4 years, but that is still at least a large gap. But I'm with you. I think the gap has to be considered, and Kyler's going to have to consider what's the best situation for him. Cough Jacksonville. I mean, I keep looking around saying, are the Jags really not going to bring him in? So there are several good situations. I want to keep taking your thoughts on a 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's not the only controversial football topic out there, though, right now, as Mike Gundy is back in the news. Now, yesterday, we had a lot of discussion on this show about Chuba Hubbard and Mike Gundy and the shirt and the reaction to it. Well, Mike Gundy, after the co-apology that seemed so awkward, doubled down with an even more awkward apology that was posted on social media. So Mike Gundy went to social media. They did a little video where he did his recorded message. The question is, how's he now look? Stephen A. Smith, Max, and Marcus Spears broke down the look of Gundy now today on First Take.
I definitely think he looked like it was a hostage video. I definitely believe that without question. I mean, he was clearly compelled to be up there, and it was like it was just unbelievable to watch. I mean, you were just looking to see who was behind him saying, you better say this. That's how flagrant it appeared that it looked like a hostage video. Having said all of that, listen, you had on the shirt One America News, if I remember correctly. That's the name of the network. Again, I didn't know anything about that and what have you. And but you're a leader of young men. You're the head coach of a college football program. For you to sit up there and say, once you were aware of what the network supposedly or purportedly represents and how people felt about it, well, why didn't you know that before you donned the T-shirt? That's number one. Number two, particularly when you're a leader of young men and you're the head of a college football program. Number two. Number three, and more importantly, it goes to a bigger point in my mind, guys, and Molly, and it is this. Certain parts of the country, and I'm not casting aspersions on any geographical place or anything like that. I'm just being real about it. If we've noticed, Jerry Jones has been conspicuously quiet. And that's something in the days to come we're going to get into. I'm not going to let this slide anymore. Where the hell is Jerry Jones, the owner for the Dallas Cowboys? With all of this stuff going on, he's been conspicuously quiet and absent from the television screen. Why do I bring that up? Because he was the one person during the whole Kaepernick ordeal that said his players will not kneel. They will stand for the national anthem, et cetera, or else. That was his position. So to me, now that the tide has appeared to change, where the hell is he? The reason I bring that up as it pertains to this Mike Gundy conversation is because Jerry Jones is in a place presiding as an owner of the Dallas Cowboys, where some people believe you can get away with that down in Texas. Well, Oklahoma ain't too far from that, Marcus Spears. And the way I look at it, when I'm thinking about Mike Gundy, I'm thinking along the lines of this being a guy who did not expect nor anticipate any kind of fallout from the position that he took until his player stood up. And so when you give this video, remember the video came after the conversation with the player. And then after the video, him in concert with the player that made Max and Molly sit up there and raise their eyebrows and say, yeah, that video put me off a little bit. Still, you hadn't apologized. It wasn't until there was additional fallout from that you made this, quote unquote, to use Max's term, this hostage video. So it resonates with me that somewhere along the way, you thought was it was okay, which means to me you were led to believe it was okay. And where did that come from? These are the kind of questions that I think kind of need to be answered to some degree. That's what I take from this whole Mike Gundy fiasco.
When you look at this apology that Mike Gundy did, this is Mike Gundy figuring out everybody saw who he is. He knows what the shirt represents. You see, my grandmother told me don't be a fool. When somebody tell you who they are, believe them. That's who he is. You gonna tell me a college football coach that is as detailed at everything that they do didn't know what that shirt represented? Mike Gundy trying to make a fool out of everybody by saying once he found out. I take offense to that. The second thing is this. When you show who you are, be that. Keep that energy. We having all these discussions in the country right now. Whether you are racist, whether you are not racist, whether you are anti-racist, let people know. Keep your energy. Let people know. Look, if your heart changes, that is wonderful. Based on what's going on and all of these conversations that's being had across the country, all of this signaling and everything that's going on. If you are who you are, be that. Just realize there's consequences to it. Mike Gundy wore a shirt. He found out Chuba Hubbard didn't agree with that. Chuba knew what it meant, and he decided that he wanted to address it because he thought that he would get that over the head of the guys that he was around. Let's be real about this. We could talk about Mike Gundy in a region where this is accepted, and we could talk about the PC culture and how the good crowd is making the bad crowd come to their senses. Don't apologize because you got caught. Don't apologize for that. If you really feel that, and if you really think that you did something that is disrespectful to the people that you're around, that's when you apologize. Mike Gundy apologized because he got caught. It is so obvious that in this apology, him saying he didn't know what that represented took, I didn't hear anything else after that. Because coaches, my experience with coaches in college football, pro football, both of you guys' experience, they obviously know how things are perceived publicly when they do things. That's why a lot of them get caught lying when a private part of their life come to the surface. This is what transpires. So Mike Gundy just got caught. He's supportive of One America Network. That's what he is. He's supportive of that. Did he have a heart change? Did his condition change? Maybe so. But if not, Mike Gundy apologized because he got caught. Mike Gundy knew damn well what that shirt represented.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I've said it several times. At some point, you got to look at the way the immediate reaction came from the players that reacted to it. And the fact that it created such a stir speaks to something that we've got to get a clue on the relationship between Gundy and his players, because they didn't go and say, hey, coach, maybe you want to rethink that. Didn't do that. No, they went straight for the jugular on it on social media for it. And he's been walking it back ever since. That has to speak to something. We let you guys get your take in on the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. John in California, thanks for calling the show, man. What's your take? John, we got you? Trying to get John in. Can't hear John. Oh, John's gone. All right. Well, John, call back in. We'll let you get another one. Lewis from Miami. Lewis, what's your take? Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. 2 points regarding Colin. 4 years out of the league. Guy's 32 years old. I personally feel that the only reason he's not so much press right now is because of what's going on with the protest. Secondly, so I don't think he should be given a shot. There's too many other good players that could play better than him. Secondly, I'm from Miami, and Cap said some things down here praising Fidel Castro. And from that perspective, the stance that he took, but kneeling for the flag. Now he's saying that he didn't do it for the flag. It was about the police and racial tensions and all that. That's not what he said. He said that once that flag represents what I wanted to represent, I'll stand for the flag. I mean, that flag could represent a lot of things. And I don't think it stands for racism. Do we have racism in the country? Absolutely. Do we have systemic racism? That's where I disagree with it. To be given another opportunity because of all the riots and all the protests that are going on right now, I think that the companies are kowtowing to the protesters, and I don't really think it's right, because if you take a look at Black Lives Matter, and I don't want to get too political, so if I am, just let me know.
Let me at least counter back, because I'm going to be up against a break and I won't have the chance to ask you a question. So let me at least counter back, because we don't have to agree on everything. But you said that he shouldn't get a second chance. Are we not a country of second chances?
Well,
I mean, Michael Vick went to prison for killing animals. He got a second chance in the NFL, right?
No, let me.
Did you have a problem with that?
I must have misspoke. There are better players than him that have paid the price and that should be given another chance because he's been 4 years out of the league. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he get cut the last year? Didn't he get benched because his performance wasn't that good? Isn't that the reason why he didn't get re-signed?
I mean, he had 14 touchdowns and 2 picks off the top of my head. I think that was the number. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong on the backside of this. But, he lost his job to injury, and then he opted out of his contract because he thought he was going to be able to get a better one out of San Francisco. I mean, that's the real of how that happened. And we keep talking about the 4-year layoff, but nobody mentioned that with Alden Smith. I mean, Alden Smith just signed a deal with the Cowboys and the last time he played in an NFL game was November 10th, 2015. And nobody seems to turn around and think that there was a big deal with the contract that he got that, frankly, is laden with incentives if he has any production at all. So we don't have a problem with that, but we have a problem with this 4-year layoff. I mean, philosophically, you and I may disagree on a lot of what you said, and you're definitely allowed to have your opinion on it, but we are absolutely, in my mind, a country of second chances. So even if you think that Colin Kaepernick has screwed everything up and he's done everything wrong, tell me why he would be the one guy that doesn't get a second chance when we've seen people that have murdered animals and we've seen people that have domestically abused and we've seen all that. Everybody gets a second chance in the NFL if you can play. So explain to me why Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve one. I can't see that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I won't shy away from your take. I love the debate and I love that we can have it respectively. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, coming up, there can be massive ramifications for Major League Baseball if they're not able to have a season this year. We'll get the full scoop from one of our experts next.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get back to your take in just a little bit. I know, you know, it's pretty easy. All we have to do on radio in general is say Colin Kaepernick or Mike Gundy at this point, and people will chime in. So we'll get back to your take in just a little bit. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But before we do any of that, I want to get a little bit of Straight Talk from brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes, we're going to start this with Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan gave us a little Straight Talk on Golic and Wingo this morning on where the burden of responsibility lies if we want baseball to come back. This is what he said this morning.
I think they needed to get this thing done a month ago. And that's the most frustrating part of it all, that where we are right now with MLB's acknowledgement that the players are going to be paid their full prorated share is what we should have been at this whole time. And I understand that the owners are trying to get a discount from the players. I get that. But you got to read the room. And it's been a long time now since the room showed you they weren't budging. And if they're not budging, then your job, your imperative as the stewards of the game, which the owners are, because they're the ones who have had clubs in family hands for, you know, decades upon decades. They're the ones who are going to pass down these teams to their family. They're the ones who are around for a long time when MLB careers are extraordinarily finite. I mean, the average career, 3.5 to 4 years, not very long that a player is going to be around. So it's on the owners to bring baseball back. And when Rob Manfred says the owners 100% want to play, show me your work, man.
That's some straight talk wireless, no contracts, no compromise. I want to get reaction to that. And all things Major League Baseball by heading over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Doug Glanville. Doug, thanks for the time. I hope you and yours are safe. I really appreciate you joining us. And when we hear these conversations about where the onus lies and trying to figure out how to get baseball back to you, what's the big key that's being missed right now?
Well, that this is typical. You know, that the dynamic between owners and players have always had this tone, and this is how they've gotten things done historically. You talk about labor disputes, strikes, lockouts, injunctions, court orders. I mean, this is the game that's been played since day one. What's missing is looking out the window and realizing, okay, we're in a pandemic. You know, we have serious health risks and concerns, and unemployment is, you know, high. And people are very stressed out for obvious reasons. So to try to adjust the public discourse in a way that's more constructive would have been a better step. And that happened from jump. You needed to start off with that tone of we're a partnership and working together. And so although that history is always front and center in any of these negotiations, the inability to sort of keep it more in the circle became a victim of social media and everything that sort of got out because they didn't set that tone early on.
We're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Doug Glanville, and I think that's a really interesting point, Doug. And, you know, I said yesterday that Rob Manfred, in my mind, has lost complete control, not because of the unprecedented times we're in, but because a better foundation hasn't been laid or put together over the last several years between players and owners. So knowing that this is the way it's always been done, how does Manfred quickly create a culture of trust between players and owners that it's going to take to actually make a negotiation happen?
You have to take a bold step, an absolute bold step, and step out front and say, okay, you know, and just reestablish, like, this is a partnership. We have to put the vitriol behind us. We have to move forward together. Because even when you sign the dotted line, that partnership just begins. You know, that's the start. And when you're trying to set also an example for, you know, our society larger, which definitely baseball has an opportunity to do, then you have to establish that partnership is going to work going forward. It creates that credibility for why people are going to look towards you and say, okay, this is an example. Because baseball could be the only game in town, so to speak, of these sort of NFL, NBA, MLB. They can get a jump start and be that example. So, you know, you have to go against the grain. And obviously there's 30 teams, different owners have certain opinions. But they know that the players are never going to accept anything that resembles either a cap or an artificial discount or some backdoor way. They're just not going to do that. And if the number is where the owners say, look, we only have a certain amount of money we want to put out there this year, then they can back into those numbers and still accomplish the structure that the players want, which is to be consistent and say, here's my per game rate. We're also taking these health risks and safety risks, and you're going to get your game rate. And we can only afford to do that at 57 games or whatever the number is. They could have been done back in, you know, weeks ago. I mean, it's just, that's the thing that's so frustrating.
I have a hard time getting my mind wrapped around some of what we heard from Rob Manfred when he talked to Mike Greenberg a couple of nights ago. And the concept there was essentially, if we just force a certain number of games to be played, they're going to take it to court and arbitration. And we haven't really heard a definitive statement either way from that. If you were playing in today's league and Major League Baseball simply came in and assigned what was going to happen, how would you react?
That wouldn't go over well. Absolutely not. Especially when there's been attempts to sort of bridge that, you know, before this little sort of last resort. And certainly good faith has been thrown around a lot between both sides, right? You know, bad faith, good faith. And that's a concern from a legal standpoint about negotiating in good faith. And, you know, when you have an opportunity to play more games, why wouldn't you play more games? Well, the economics for owners are saying, well, we're not most likely going to have any fans. That is, you know, some of these teams have 40% plus of their revenue on fans. So they know that they're, you know, either losing money each game or not making as much. But the way baseball has always been sort of structured is the big paydays come really on the valuation and the sale of the team. You depreciate asset. It's not necessarily the sort of snapshot that sums up the value of your team or your sport. For example, with the huge, you know, TV deal that they recently engaged in. So, you know, they have to figure out how to sort of speak the same language. The players are always much more focused on structure because that structure creates precedent going forward. And the owners have been looking more at sort of the bottom line. And when you're talking two different languages, you have to get on the same page. And time is just ticking. And maybe to some degree that allows the owners to say, well, oh, well, we ran out of time. You know, we only can play 60 games. That could be their end game. But as you mentioned, if you then impose it, especially in a health crisis, you're going to say, you have to play, here's where you report. It is not going to come off well, not only to the players, but in the public sphere.
So we're talking to ESPN Major League Baseball analyst Doug Glanville on First Take Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Doug, you know, I'm 43. I used to read those Choose Your Own Adventure books. So, you know, I get to this spot where it says go left or go right. If I go left and it turns into this situation where suddenly, you know, they've tried to impose it, the players fight it, turns into a legal battle, and we don't get any Major League Baseball. I turn to page 257. What's the long-term ramification of that?
Right. I mean, it's horrific. It's horrific because, you know, it's one thing to, okay, you lose baseball, but you have the door has been open from a health and safety standpoint to at least try to play. It's open. All right. And that window is not very big. Scientifically, all the concerns going forward, this is it. This is the moment. And when you blow it up because you didn't actually just agree, it's nonsensical. And certainly people are going to be upset, rightfully so, about, you know, what baseball is doing. And then guess what? 2 weeks from now, I don't know, NBA, WNBA, everything's starting to get online, and baseball is over there staring at each other. That is not going to go well. And it's going to have ramifications down the road because this is just a snapshot. Think about 2021 when you're now negotiating for a full, long collective bargaining agreement. That's going to go off the rails because now you're just like, well, we have nothing to lose. So I think there's a huge concern that if you cannot get it together, when you've had 25 years of labor peace, and now when you actually have a reason to keep the peace, you can't. That is not going to go well.
We're talking to Major League Baseball analyst Doug Glanville. Doug, I'm supposed to let you go here, but I got to ask you one more because I think this is an important conversation. Obviously, the Red Sox came out and made a statement about what they're aware of and the racial tone of so many of the fans that are in their park. As somebody that played and experienced so much of this in the league, what did it mean to you to see the Red Sox as an organization come out and acknowledge this issue?
You know, that was a step. That was a significant step. Acknowledgement. You know, that is a very important word. Apology. Those are important words. They can never be underestimated. Even though that is, you know, a huge step, we know it's not the final step. But that makes a big difference because, you know, in that experience and being black, there's also this counterculture of, well, you're imagining things. You didn't really see that. That's not what it meant. You're constantly going up against the doubt. And when you have the credibility of an organization that's had its strife in racial history, had its issues, had you know, city frictions and tensions, and they're standing up and saying, no, this is actually true. Although it sounds simple, and I'm sure, you know, as a player myself, I'm like, well, yeah, obvious, you know, but people need to hear that have been skeptical and understand the pain it is when you're constantly not believed or people are in denial of your experience. So the Red Sox, you know, Chaim Bloom, I know fairly well, he was the GM of the Red Sox. He has that sort of mindset. I think he's, you know, really adapting to what we're facing right now. So baseball can lead here. Very diverse culture. Think about spring training. You go to spring training and you see people from all walks of life. And all these different walks of life come together around team. And the rules of the game are equitable. They're fair because they have to be to have a game, have a sport that actually people can play on both sides. That's important. But by the end of the season, you do have different perceptions. And it's not perfect. People cheat the system. People have it. But in the end, you still aspirationally have at what it's best, something that could be a great example. And so although baseball is non-essential, the concept of team is essential right now for our country. And that's what the lost opportunity is right now for baseball. And take an example from the steps that the Red Sox have taken. Many more can do that. And I think it will make a difference.
Doug, I appreciate your honest insight and your expertise. Thanks so much for the time today and joining us. I hope you and yours are safe. We really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it, too.
Follow him on Twitter, at Doug Blanville. Always great stuff there. You guys have stacked the phone lines with the Kaepernick takes, with the Gundy takes. You want to get in, and we're going to let you take over. Whenever you want this to become your take, we make sure that happens. So we're going to close out the show with more of your take coming next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests and you appear on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Allen, Pennsylvania. Let's get your take. Always love it when you call out. What you got? What's your take on this one?
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for calling.
I got to look at this, looking at this as reality. You know, if there was a team or an owner out there that truly believe that the Colin Kaepernick could be an asset for their team, I think he would have been signed a long time ago. I think any team right now, I believe that if they're going to give Colin Kaepernick a tryout, I think it's probably just a publicity thing after what Roger Goodell said, and maybe they want to stay on Roger Goodell's good side or something. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Colin Kaepernick does get back into the league. I think he definitely deserves a chance to be back in the league. And, you know, I can wish him the best. And one thing I got to say, if when Colin Kaepernick took that knee for the very first time, if there was one owner in the league that was still had still been with us at that time, I think Colin Kaepernick would still be in the league today. And that would have been Al Davis. Because Al Davis.
Well, Al, I think you're right about that. I mean, Al was always on the forefront for, you know, not caring where he came from, what you look like, what your background is. He just wanted people that could play. And certainly, when it comes to race and gender, has been on the forefront in his mindset. The only thing I would say, and I often agreed with you when I thought, you know what, Kaepernick would be playing if people thought he could play. I talked to a close friend that used to be a GM in the league a couple of years ago, and he said, man, it's not that simple. A, do you want the distraction from a backup quarterback, if that's what you think he is? Do you want a backup quarterback that all of your players are having to answer questions for? Not every GM's comfortable with that. And then the other side of it is, do you want to be the GM that not only signs Colin Kaepernick, but possibly at some point cuts Colin Kaepernick? Those are all conversations that I hadn't thought of, and they're all conversations that really affect whether or not I think Colin Kaepernick has been in the league for the last couple of years at least, because you have to acknowledge, and that's why I think the NFL needs to be aware of the situation that they've got. The NFL needs to be aware of PR management, essentially, when Colin Kaepernick, if he comes into the league. They've got to be able to help a team get through it. Bruce in Pennsylvania, you've been hanging along a long time. Bruce, what's your take?
I just want to comment, Jason, on overall the civil war we have going on in this country when it comes to our institutions. Now, I'm not talking about guns and arms, but everything that we're talking about has to do with the police department, the Black Lives Matter, the Southern schools and the Midwestern schools. All these things are institutions that have had long histories of racism, power, control by the owners. And I just look at this and say, you know, all these things going on with the players and Dabo Sweeney and Gundy, they're part of that. They're part of the culture that's been embedded in these systems for years. I'm not saying they're, you know, they haven't grown and that they're racist.
And I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. We're right up against the break. I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. I really appreciate your take. Call back tomorrow. We'll get more of it in. We're going to keep the conversations going. We're going to keep having awkward, tough conversations because I love doing it. Will Cain's coming up next. He's going to discuss the Chargers possibly giving Kaepernick a workout. That's coming up next. Thanks for hanging out with us as always, guys. Really appreciate it.